At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right, you've seen him play for the Houston Dynamo. He is also the color analyst on all the AT&T Sports Network. Proudly, I think it's 11 years now we've been doing Dynamo on TV. We've enjoyed 99.9% of the minutes of it, I would say, because at the end of the day, we're commentators. We love talking the game. He's Eddie Robinson. He joins us now. Eddie, how are you?
I'm great, Glenn. How are you?
I'm doing very good. I'm looking forward to the Dynamo Portland game this weekend to kind of see how they tag what was a really chaotic 4-3 win over San Jose. But that was a really interesting night. If you were a fan who coveted ball possession, it was maybe not the night for you. But if you were a fan that liked a lot of goals, a lot of chaotic play, which I think a lot of people remarked to me, and I don't know about you, Eddie, that they were just like, wow, that was great entertainment. Your thoughts?
Well, that's why people pay their hard-earned money, is to go to be entertained. And the Dynamo certainly did that on Saturday night. But if you've watched San Jose play over the last couple of years, you understand this is the game they play. They make the game chaotic on purpose. They try to confuse you. They try to make it difficult for you. They make the game ugly and difficult to win. And one sign of a good team, of a playoff team, is teams that are able to win ugly games. And the Dynamo have done it 2 weeks in a row now. They did it on the road in Miami, and now they've done it at home against San Jose. And this coming weekend, they've got a very winnable game against the Portland team, who's been struggling this season. So, you know, a real good, strong chance to get three wins in a row and keep themselves up near the top of the Western Conference is something every Dynamo fan should be excited about.
Yeah, three wins in a row is a bit of a rarity for the Houston Dynamo, no question, in recent times. So I like what you had to say there. Let's go back to the pros and cons of this game. I mean, the obvious pro, and he got invited onto the team of the week, or earned his way onto the team of the week, was Sebas Ferreira. Big drum roll, had real struggles the first five games. He picked up his first two career goals in Major League Soccer. Now, let's just strictly talk about the goals. He got his first two, so that was a big pro.
Yeah, without question. I mean, a really, really good set piece. And then late in the game to basically finish it off. It was important for him because he had been struggling and he had been subbed off in the 65th, 75th minutes in recent games. And you could see the frustration in his face. And after the goals that he scored in preseason, he was having trouble getting off the mark. And being the fact that the Dynamo have propped him up really high coming into the season as the most expensive transfer in club history, he needed that. He really needed that. This team needed that. And it's good to see him get there. I think a lot of weight's been lifted off his shoulders. I certainly expect to see him a little bit more dangerous now as the team moves forward. But let's be honest, there's one engine to this team, and that's Darwin Quintero. He's been playing absolutely like the guy we expected him to be when he first came to Major League Soccer in Minnesota. It didn't work out there. He came to Houston. He didn't look happy. This year, it looks like he's settled in. It looks like he's figured things out with his family life, with his home life, off the field. He looks like a happy person. Those are the pros. The cons: still too many giveaways in midfield, still a little bit lackadaisical defensively. And, you know, whether that comes down to choice of Paulo Nagamura rotating the center backs now, or if that comes down to injuries, we saw Tim Barker finally come back. Daniel Steris is still out, who started the first, four games of the season for the Houston Dynamo in pretty much every game beside Tim Barker in preseason. You'd like to see Paulo Nagamura settle on a center back pairing and that can have some chemistry and stop giving up some of the goals that they're allowing. And then if you're the Dynamo, you know that you're going to give up fewer goals. You're going to continue to score with Ferreira, with Quintero, with Coco Carrasquilla, who's been playing so much better than he did last year. I mean, this is a team with a lot of potential, but I'm still optimistically cautious about what they can achieve. It's there. We've seen it in these last few weeks, but can they maintain it? That's the question moving forward.
Yeah. So let's go back to Sebas Ferreira. Took his two goals. I wouldn't say it was a night that he got a tremendous amount of service. He certainly didn't get it from wide areas. The set piece was beautifully constructed. I thought that was just a gorgeous set piece to see him break away and kind of make that little circular run. And then the delivery was fantastic from, I believe it was Tyler Pascher, who, by the way, I think we have to go back and give a lot of credit to Griffin Dorsey and Tyler Pascher. Pascher decided to go wide, got in behind the defense and earned the corner. So I think sometimes we miss those subtleties, but Ferreira, I thought, hit a difficult ball from a difficult angle to get that goal. The other one came in the run of play. So the Dynamo got two goals off corners, teenagers as well. They got the one in the run of play from Fafa Pico, who I think came from the right side. Yeah, he did. And then, which is the goal I'm missing, is the Darwin Quintero goal, which came off the huge mistake from Calvo. And you and me debated that. You said that was easy money for him. I thought that was even more difficult. But obviously, he's the guy that could make those difficult plays.
Well, first of all, a lot of midfielders aren't going to chase. Darwin Quintero made that through pass to Tyler Pascher right about the midfield line, maybe just inside the circle on San Jose's half of the field. Then he immediately started to chase. He ran 40 yards after JT Marcinkowski, the San Jose goalkeeper, got a piece of the ball and stopped Pascher from scoring. I mean, just the willingness – and the thoughtfulness to think that, hey, something might fall for me. I'm going to chase. I'm not going to give up. When so many players would have just stopped and watched, expecting their teammate to finish. And that's the Darwin Quintero that we're looking at now today. As far as Sebastian Ferreira's goals, we made a lot out of his goals in preseason that he did not have a lot of chances. He didn't get a lot of good service. But when he did, he always finished his chances. And we hadn't seen that up to this point, but he got two chances and he finished them really well. And he made that set piece look a lot easier than it was because it bounced three or four times just off the ground before it got to him. And it's so easy. And so many times you see players knock that ball 24 rows up into the stands over the goal. But he was able to keep his composure, strike it cleanly with the inside of his foot, and put it inside of that near post. What a composed finish. And I'm not surprised. And I think we'll see more of that moving forward.
Eddie Robinson joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We're talking about the Houston Dynamo 4-3 victory over San Jose. They're well above the playoff line now in a great spot heading into, and I would agree with you, a very winnable game against Portland. We'll get to that in a minute. I would say, you know, Sebas Ferreira, you know, did not get chances from the wide game. Got a corner that was earned from good wide play, but I still think that's going to be an element the Dynamo are going to have to figure out in the future against better teams in MLS. I would say that if I was looking at some things that I would want better in a chaotic game like that, I would say Sebas holding the ball better, which I know we know he's capable of doing, but I didn't think he held the ball very well. For that matter, I don't think anybody on the field really held the ball well. I mean, that was a crazy, chaotic game. And, you know, it was interesting post-game when Paulo Nagamura says, you know, sometimes you battle chaos with chaos. And chaos with chaos is great when you win 4-3, for sure.
Yeah, without question. I certainly agree. I think Sebastian Ferreira could have done better in holding the ball up. But when he comes into that midfield, when you have guys like Jackson Yule chasing you around, it's difficult to keep possession. And the Dynamo midfield the entire evening struggled keeping possession on the ball. There are a lot of turnovers, a lot of silly mistakes. And Sebastian Ferreira was guilty of that. But I think that you have to give San Jose a lot of credit for causing some of those mistakes with their effort defensively. And that's who they are. And that's how they play. And if you can create those same turnovers in midfield, which the Dynamo did, play forward quickly, get the ball wide, which the Dynamo did, you're going to create chances and you're going to score goals. So this is just another small blueprint. And you and I talked during the game about the team being multidimensional, understanding situational awareness, when you need to play chaotic and when you need to play ugly and when you just need to battle to win a game. And then once you've got the game in hand, keep possession of the ball, draw fouls, take the ball to the corner flag, run it out, frustrate the other team. That's the one thing that the Dynamo struggled with for me the last 15 minutes of the game, and something that Paulo Nagamura needs to make sure he addresses, because, again, that could come up this weekend against the Portland Timbers, because defensively, Portland isn't very good. Offensively, they're scary. They're a bit of a juggernaut with Blanco and Asprilla and all these guys, and Yimi Chara. But the Dynamo are going to have some chances and they're going to score goals. So they just need to make sure that they figure out how to see out games the right way, because they still do have a lot of young players on the field.
Eddie Robinson joining us here. You know, I look at the end of that game, and I remember you and me on the broadcast, you know, going, hey, can somebody put their foot on the ball at this point? Now, up to this point in the game, nobody had for really either team very much. Every statistical category, by the way, if you're a data person out there, which I still am a naked eye guy, I like data to back certain things up. This data doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because it says that San Jose had 67% of the possession. I'm not sure that's the way my eyes saw it. It said they had 584 passes to 282. I don't know if these are correct. Passing accuracy had San Jose at 87% and the Dynamo at 70. So it's just, it's kind of weird to look at this stuff. San Jose had 13 crosses to only 7 for the Dynamo. Only 7 crosses over the course of 90 minutes. Successful dribbles, 52% for San Jose, 33 for Houston. So I could go on and on in this stuff. Every single category is one, almost, I think every single one of them, including shots inside the box, big chances. All these things that they have come up with data-wise have been won in this game by San Jose. And honestly, I didn't see that difference in the game.
Well, two things for me. I think most, probably 95% of the analytics and the data in soccer are complete rubbish. It's just...
Tell me how you really feel.
It's just something for the soccer nerds to talk about, the people that don't actually know the game, that can't sit down and analyze it from a tactical perspective, that want something to talk about and spend hours talking about on their podcasts. It doesn't bother me. I'm like you. I'm an eye test kind of guy. But then when you talk about the possession and the passes, you have to put it into context. The Dynamo scored first, but San Jose came back and scored two immediately. And now they're ahead on the road. So a lot of their passes that they're completing, the possession that they have, is in their own half of the field, is in the midfield. It's not in dangerous areas.
It's not correct.
It's not like Steve Clark was tested all night long and had to make 10 outstanding saves.
But there was no long stretches of excellent possession. Yeah, maybe two center backs passed it back and forth. And by the way, if we went and looked at those analytics, you'll find that the center backs on both teams probably had more complete passes than anybody on the field, because it was so kind of chaotic and crazy. I'm like you. I like... Now, here, I'm going to give you an example of data that I like, okay? I went and looked up how many of the Dynamo-wide players in the Inter-Miami game connected with a pass with Sebas Ferreira, a traditional center forward that needs delivery from wide areas, right? Because I've been talking a lot about the wide game and that he needs the wide game, okay? So after doing research, there were three. Three from... the combination of Dorsey, Pico, the other winger, Corey Baird, and Adam Lundqvist, right? Who didn't, you and I pointed out in the broadcast, didn't get forward a lot against Inter-Miami. So he had a total of three crosses and three connections with his wide guys. Now that tells me a lot. That's a real, to me, that's an important analytic. That is something that you and I on a broadcast can say, hey, look, wide guys have only found the feet or found their center forward three times. That's over the course of how long Sebas was on the field, 70-something minutes. That's telling to me. That's telling. Some of this other stuff, I mean, I think part of it's for gambling. Part of it's, you know, when I see people writing articles with expected goals, and now you're going to hear coaches using this stuff too.
Wow,
they're going to use it to defend their positions, and it may be right, but there's a lot more that goes into some of these analytics that are not taken into account, right?
Glenn, I saw something today on Twitter that I think it referenced under 21 U.S. players playing abroad and unexpected goals. So goals they scored that they shouldn't have scored. And I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me? Could it just be the fact that they're actually good soccer players and they're going to score these goals? Maybe some of the MLS forwards aren't, but the younger generations that are coming through are better. I mean, again, it just goes back to, you know, giving people that can't intelligently break down a game tactically something to talk about for me. And that stuff just it drives me insane. I think there are a few, like you said, that are relevant. I mean, one of the ones, especially according to things that Paulo Nagamura has said, is how many times do the Houston Dynamo win the ball in either their defensive third or the midfield third, and the first pass goes forward and is completed and is not immediately turned back over. Right. That's an important statistic for the Houston Dynamo based on the way that they've been playing, their counterattack, how dangerous they are when they get players going, how dangerous they are when they get Darwin Quintero in the open field running at the defense. Right? There are some that are important, but it goes from team to team. And you always have to remember that it all needs to be put in the correct context, because you can apply any of it to any team, but for some teams, it doesn't necessarily make sense.
Yeah, I think it's like anything else. You can go into any data after a game and try to find things that defend your position. And that's why I just brought it up that, and this is, you know, Press Box Live. This is a very reputable place to get data. And, you know, San Jose won every category, and in a lot of these categories won them in a big way, but they lost the game 4-3. So it's just kind of a reminder that you know, data is, you know, look, Atletico Madrid didn't have a shot against Manchester City in the first leg of the UEFA Champions League. They didn't have a shot. What you don't see if you look at the data is they had three really dangerous counterattacks, and, you know, they were one pass away from going up 1-0. And the way they were defending, they may have defended that game out and won it, right? So, you know, I just think we have to put it in context. Here's Seba Ferreira's numbers. 2 goals. Okay. He had 3 shots on the night, and 2 of them were on target, and 2 of his shots obviously were inside the box. So those were his numbers. Darwin Quintero had a goal. He had 2 shots on target. So, you know, final third entries. Darwin Quintero had 6. Who do you think led the team in final third entries? Which is either via pass or running the ball into the final third.
Well, it would either be, if you didn't tell me, I would have said Darwin Quintero, but I'm thinking maybe Coco Karaski or Fafa Pico.
You got them both right. Quintero was 6, Karaskia with 11. By the way, here's another thing I think subtly Houston Dynamo fans can think about. And this is a Glenn Davis, Eddie Robinson here. We're talking about the Houston Dynamo. Fafa Pico's goal and an assist, right? He got the assist to Sebas on that second goal, Sebas' second goal. And he also had the goal in Miami. He came from the right side both times, which there's no hesitation when he's collecting the ball on the right side of the field because it's more comfortable. It's his right foot. He's in stride. He's not slowing down to cut it back and allow defenders back into the play. It's just something subtle to keep an eye on. These little things are some of the things that really make the game interesting. I don't think we would have heard, unless we were talking about it, too many people talk about the very important interplay between Tyler Pasher and Griffin Dorsey that led to the corner that led to the goal. You know, there's all these really interesting little subtle things that you know, you and I like to look for. And I think some of the fans out there like to look for as well, but you know, we always go right to goal scorers. So interesting stuff. All right, back to Darwin. It was not a game where Darwin, who is a rhythm player, got a lot of the ball and got a lot of rhythm just because of the chaotic nature of it. It actually kind of took him out of it a little bit, except for the great moment where he was, you know, to follow up there and finish that off. But I would also say, Eddie, come on, he's your second forward. He's got to do that.
Yeah, listen, there's a word in soccer.
I think you are, and I'm going to say this to you, I think you're going a little over the top on it. I get his goals. I get what an incredibly talented player he is. I don't think the story's over for Darwin this year. I don't think he's a 90-minute player. I don't care how cool it is outside. And I do think it's going to be different when we see the Dynamo up against better competition. And actually, this is going to be a really interesting game for him, I think, against Portland, because we all know Portland's going to play in a lower block. So this could be a game where, you know, you really need Darwin Quintero off the dribble with some of these slick little touches. You need that amazing skill set that he has against Portland, I think.
Well, listen, but first of all, let me finish my thought. Yep. There's a word that's so often overlooked in soccer, and it's efficiency. How efficient are you with the opportunities you get? Some games you're not going to get a lot. And Darwin Quintero has been extremely efficient this year. He's been very efficient with the opportunities that he's had, whether it's to create something for someone else or to finish himself. And that's the thing that really has stuck out to me to this point. So, again, with this Portland team, with Diego Chara playing in that number six, that's going to be some sort of battle. We're going to be in for a treat on Saturday night. 5 p.m. kickoff. Make sure you catch it, AT&T Sportsnet, Fubo TV. Hey, we got to get the spot. We got to get those guys in there.
Eddie, you've learned beautifully now. I got to tell you,
this is a beautiful one.
You can read all the sponsored ads during the game if you'd like. Yeah. But I like the only one I want to stick with. Well, I like them all, obviously, because they're all sporting soccer. But MD Anderson is my favorite. Yeah. I do love that one. So you just mentioned the midfield. They played with Paredes, Jimmy Chara, and Diego Chara in the last game. And the two Chara brothers can still fly. They're remarkable. They got a 3-2 game at win at Vancouver. But I will tell you, and I don't know if you've watched it yet. You may have. It was not an easy win for them, and they almost blew it at the end. They were under tremendous pressure from Vancouver. To your point about Sebastian Blanco, he's definitely not got his sea legs back. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get him there, but he does not have his legs back. Niezgoda is a big Polish center forward up front. You've got runners in Aspria and Loria. So Van Ranken and Claudio Bravo, who were brought in last year, those two outside backs like to get forward. But I think you said the perfect word. This is a very winnable game. I mean, I don't think anybody has to be in awe of the Portland Timbers, quite frankly. I don't think this team is. And to Paulo Nagamura's credit, I think there's a fighting spirit here and a belief. And yes, it's still early. It's only six games. But if I take anything out of that game against San Jose, it was the fight from everybody on the team, including all the people that came on off the bench, to continue to add to it.
Yeah, it's interesting because I would put the Dynamo's fight and spirit over the last few years up against any team in the league. But the problem has been the quality in the final third. It just hasn't been there. And it's been there this year. Defensively, the Dynamo have been better, not giving up as many silly goals, not giving up as many late goals, not giving up as many points, giving points away with those late goals. And, you know, if the Dynamo are coming into this game, having not won on the road and then won a really tough game at home against San Jose, I would think that in the back of their mind, they're nervous, but they're not. I don't think that they are, because they have confidence. They have some momentum. Again, they're playing at home. They've had some pretty decent crowds. The crowds are growing a little bit. Still not where the organization wants to be. Still not where I want it to be, but it's getting there. I think this is a Dynamo team that's fired up. They can't wait to get back on the field. They don't want to train this week. I wouldn't either. The way that they're playing and winning, let's get back out there and play another game and win another game and get three more points.
Well, I think the quality of players and competition throughout the roster has obviously been improved. You got to re-energize Darwin Quintero right now. I still have question marks about that. Not about his ability. Never. Yeah. But about what his role will be once we get into this season a little bit heavier. He is a 34-year-old man. He still pulls off some remarkable things. And I think in 4 years from now, if you put him into a game, he's going to be able to pull something off remarkable. But I think that's one to definitely keep an eye on. I still think this club needs a better wide game in the future. If they're going to service a high-priced center forward, I think that's going to need to happen. We need to see him score some goals in the channels as well, in between an outside back and a center back, because he scored a lot of those goals in Paraguay and in Liga MX with Morelia. We need to see those things as well. Eddie, all right, the time is up for us. You and me are going to have a great time. We'll call the Portland game this weekend. As always, thank you for coming on. Great insight tonight. A lot of fun. And we had a little bit more time to break it down as opposed to television. So good stuff.
All right, brother. Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you soon.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.